Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about topics dealing with energy and availability here in the Upper Peninsula. And joining me to do that is Sam Lockwood from the Keweenaw Renewable Energy Coalition. Sam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
You've been on this program a number of times in the past, and we thought it would be a good time to come back and revisit this issue because you had some new information that came out that I thought brought it to the forefront again.
Agreed. It's been, over the last 12 months, I'll say it's been a little bit slow in the energy news in Michigan. We didn't get any new legislation passed at the end of 2015. And our plan for the Upper Peninsula's 15 counties has been out since March of last year. So this is almost a one-year anniversary from the governor's energy speech. And it seemed like a good time for one of the reasons you mentioned, which is American Transmission Company, the outfit that brings power to us, primarily from Wisconsin, announced their 2016 10-year plan. And in that plan, they have identified projects that are already in queue with MISO, a number of provisional projects, things that they would project that they would like to do in the Upper Peninsula over the next 10 years. And it's about capital cost price tag up front, it's about $600 million. The concern is that we have a problem up here. We already have the highest electricity per kilowatt hour rates on the U.S. mainland. The only state that has higher power rates than us is Hawaii, and Hawaii's in the transition to go full solar for reasons that should be obvious. So their 38-cent power is going to come way down. That'll leave us sitting here right now with the latest numbers from the Public Service Commission at 26.33 cents for the entry-level residential user, which, again, is gives us a dubious distinction of being the highest on the mainland.
How does that compare to other Midwestern states and areas that are nearby us? Are we paying about what they're paying?
No, we're paying quite a bit more, usually twice as much. So MISO, which is the independent system operator for the Midwest, clusters a group of states, which includes Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's been really moving up in their electricity rates, but the UP's been high for the last 12 years. So to compare what you might pay at EPCO up here, 26.33 cents, and you look, say, downstate at the two big ones, Consumers Energy and DTE, which do 8 or 9 million people in lower Michigan, they're at 16 cents. So that's almost double. And with the transmission, which is specified coming into the UP's 15 counties, it would be an incredible blow. $600 million becomes $2 billion because these costs are amortized to the ratepayer over a 30 or 40 year period. And with the interest rates and all the other costs associated with doing so, we could end up paying the $2 billion and our rates would at least double if that happens.
Most energy consumers here in this area, they're familiar with EPCO and SEMCO for our electricity and gas. They may not be familiar with American Transmission Company or why we might be paying these higher rates. Can you kind of explain that a little bit?
The way the energy gets to us is fairly simple. At the federal level, that trickles down to the states. Generation, which is creation of the electrons, creation of the power, is separate from transmission. And in this case, we're talking about high-voltage transmission. You're moving the electrons on big wires over distance. And then finally into distribution, which is moving from the step-down transformers at the very end, right before you get the consumer. And in our area specifically, the power is typically coming from Wisconsin outside of Green Bay. It's usually coal-fired power or nuclear power. It's about 4 cents during the week. It's about 2.9 cents on the weekends. So generation is handled primarily by an out-of-state entity. There's a little bit of hydropower generation in the UP, in the Keweenaw area, that EPCO is responsible for, but not much. So American Transmission Company is the entity that's responsible for the high-voltage transmission 220 miles or more, coming from the area around Green Bay to us. And then distribution, once again, is taken over by local companies. So most folks are familiar with EPCO. But REA services some non-contiguous areas like the air park is REA. Everything surrounding the air park up by Houghton County Airport is EPCO. Okay.
But this added cost from American Transmission Company for replacing the lines, that would affect anybody who's going to turn on a light switch or their gas if they're not, you know, getting their energy from somewhere else.
Absolutely. So on a typical bill, and we've been doing this every year since 2012, I'm looking at a typical bill for a residential customer in Calumet. They used 597 kilowatt hours in that particular month. The bill was $138.91. And this is 2 years ago. The effective per kilowatt hour rate all in was 23.3 cents. So the key thing here to explain, as you look at the bill in detail, if you're buying power for a weighted average of slightly over 3 cents, why does it cost 23.3 cents here? There are two reasons for that. The power company, in this case, UPCO, when you look at the energy charge on this particular bill, was $53.85 of the bill. That's about 39% of the total bill. But the other piece goes to American Transmission Company for power distribution. That was $63.20 on this bill, or about 45% of the bill. The bottom line is, even though it's cheap power at the origin, once you use this particular model, far away generation, long distance transmission, it's very expensive. And you end up with, from 3 cents, by the time they get here, it's 23 cents. And that's an older bill. And as I mentioned before, March 1st, 2016, that had become 26.33 cents.
Energy rates recently have seemed to have come down from where they were, you know, over the last couple of year spans, just from paying my bill. I know people do individual things to try to help. We had a neighbor that, you know, stocked 2 years worth of wood, and he kept his house at 75 degrees all through the winter, using a mix of wood burning furnace and his natural gas. He actually kind of balanced the two out so that he kept it warm. He never wanted it to be cold. Previously in our house, it was hooked up, I believe, probably for propane or heating oil. The tank's gone now anyways. We're hooked up for natural gas. But some people still use those methods for heating their homes. Some new ways that people are using, geothermal is being pushed by, you know, certain people. There's, of course, solar power. There's wind power in different places. But what we don't see is a plan that is for everybody. Because right now, I can go to the light switch and turn the lights, turn the switch on, and my lights come on. And I can go to my thermostat, and it's a little cold in the house, so I turn it up, and all of a sudden, now I'm warm. So as far as where my energy is coming from, it's not that big of an issue to me, as long as I can count it and it's relatively clean and I'm not destroying the planet by using it. But to get people like myself on board with another plan, you have to convince us that we need to make this big change, and it will be worth it. You've been at this for a little while now. How would you say the progress on that is going?
I think the progress has been great. From the coalition's standpoint, we were challenged by the head of the Michigan Energy Office, Valerie Brader, to come up with a plan. In those days, we were going to be saddled with some high payments for the Presque Isle power plant. This is how this conversation kind of started. Unless the UP had a plan, she said, we were going to pay about $10 million a month to have Presque Isle be maintained as an SSR, a reliability resource for the grid. That sorted itself out. The governor's office, their message always is, power needs to be reliable and affordable. So let's look at those two things. That's basically what you're asking,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is you're a customer. You don't want to get in talking about the physics of solar with a scientist. You want to know that you flip the switch on and the power comes on, and you also don't want to pay four times as much as what they pay in Chicago. What about reliability? There's probably no less reliable system than the current system. Not only is it expensive, it's not reliable. All the power lines, all the high voltage lines that you see, and when you come up the highways coming towards the Keweenaw, those are all above ground. So I believe it was 2008 was the last big blackout, and they monitor all these things. A single storm, and Lord knows we have some of the most extreme weather in the Midwest, that'll knock out and make the whole western UP dark. So I would challenge the assumption that long distance transmission from Green Bay is reliable. It's not. The other piece of it is, the numbers are quite clear. If you can get power downstate for 14 cents, and by the time you get to Chicago and you've got ComEdison, and they're able to supply the second city with power in 6 to 7 cent range, we don't have either reliable or affordable power. I would say that is something that is really a matter of fact. So it's not enough to identify the problem. So if we agree that if we had a solution to this problem that was beneficial to us in terms of the bill that we pay, the reliability of the power that we get, that would be a good thing. So we spent about a year looking at the resources in the Keweenaw and all in the UP's 15 counties and asked the question, how would you do it better? How would you do it more reliably and more cheaply? And it's been about a year. The day before the governor gave his energy speech in March of last year, the day before we got our plan for energy independence for the UP to him in the form of a full plan, and then it went out as a press release as well.
So what is that plan? How are we going to do it?
We can do it. The question that we asked, you have to split if you want reliable power. To keep the lights on 24/7, you have to have what's called base load power. So rather than coal-fired power, nuclear power, things like that from somewhere else, could we put a number of small energy generating units in the UP such that we had the fuel and we could move the power short distances, which is the cheapest way to do it? The answer to the question was, we have, in terms of biomass, we had all the fuel we would ever need. So in the UP's 9.7 million acres, every year with just normal logging activity, we produce about 2 million green tons of fuel. That is enough to support the 7 biomass plants that we would sprinkle around the UP's 15 counties. For peaking power, intermittent power, we assess the wind resources in the Upper Peninsula. On the wind scale in the country, which they just reevaluated, put out new wind maps last year, we went from the third best in the country to second best. So we have an incredible resource because the wind comes very beautifully across Lake Superior and Lake Michigan and all those shorelines, which is all the Keweenaw, for example, and everything. We have the second best category of wind in the country. I'm not talking about doing wind farms. For example, Keweenaw County, we're talking about a plan that supplies our residents and businesses with power, not building 200 turbine wind farms and destroying the view shed in the Keweenaw. But for example, the smallest population county in the Upper Peninsula is Keweenaw County. You would need 2 wind turbines to supply all the power for all 2,300 residents year-round. So that's an example of the minimalist sort of approach you could take. Do we have the fuel for the base load plants, the 7 biomass plants that we suggested? Absolutely we do. And that's sustainable. We don't have to harvest any new trees. We don't have to burn railroad ties. We don't have to burn chopped tires. It's all forest residues that are currently left on the ground and create a fire hazard the way we currently dispose of them. We have a sprinkling of big wind, if you will, on onshore wind. And then the asset that really the most scientific evaluation has been done in the last 3 or 4 years was done by scientists at Michigan Tech and the Keweenaw Research Center. Those folks showed that for 5 months of the year, we have better solar flux than Hawaii because we have long days in the summer and we're very high latitude. So May through September, we can drive the whole system with the solar panels. So what folks are doing now is putting together these assets in a sort of a modular format. How much wind do you need? How much solar do you need? And then you got to keep everything on 24/7. We all understand that. But the UP has been blessed with this forest land and I would say logging is only behind tourism in terms of jobs and et cetera. Just the nature of that business generates all the fuel that we would need for these little integrated 2 and 3 county grids that we're talking about. All of a sudden, all the money that we currently pay other states for fuel stays here. And we estimated that every year $50 million would come into the 15-county area for the biomass fuel. Now, once you build wind and solar, those are no-fuel technologies. So you lock in your prices on that. Once the capital costs and the power purchase agreements are done, you lock in the price of that power. So you're not at the mercy of the price of natural gas, fuel oil, propane, any of those things. So we've got this thing, all the detail that you'd ever want to do to drill down on it, and succinctly just how we just described, the answer was we can do it ourselves. The jobs stay here, the money for the fuel stays here, and we can fix that variable cost for our businesses, which I'll tell you, it's tough to recruit, and it's tough, as we see every year in the hospitality industry, that by the time you get to winter, most of those Keweenaw restaurants up north, they closed down for that tough part of the year. And we think we could really add some value to that with this plan.
Sounds great. How does something like this get started? It can't be cheap to get it off the ground.
Nothing's going to be cheap. So let's compare apples to apples. If the transmission company wants to improve our reliability by building new big wires, and they want to spend $600 million, and they want to amortize that over 30 or 40 years, we pay $2 billion. A single biomass plant can be done for $40 million. We need seven. That's $280 million. I think the solar that we have in the plan is about 160 megawatts. The price on solar drops and has been dropping every year, precipitously. And wind is the cheapest new generation. Not only is it the most built in the United States now, it eclipses everything, but it produces power most cheaply. We're talking about an aggregate of about a $750 million project, but that's before the municipal entities, the communities take advantage of that 30% federal investment tax credit that's been extended five more years now. So you take 750, you're down to 500. So you get cheaper power, you lock in those prices. Two of the three modalities we're talking about are no fuel modalities. So once it's built out, they're not polluting. And the biomass is uniquely suited, in my opinion, to be a bridge fuel. The wild card out there and the holy grail for this whole thing to make it work is what Tesla is working on with the electric cars. They're building a $5 billion plant in Nevada that are producing battery storage packs for both residences and commercial businesses. If you can convert intermittent things like wind and solar to something that you can store for use at night or whenever the wind's not blowing, you really got it. And that came online about 18 months ago. So we don't look at burning biomass forever. I would say 10 or 12 years, those plants, you won't lose those plants, but they could be converted into producing heat for greenhouses, et cetera. So you wouldn't lose the capital investment there. But science and technology, the plug-and-play environment is catching up. And once the battery storage, the holy grail, comes in, we'd be perhaps completely off the grid up here with wind and solar, geothermal, as you mentioned, for heating and cooling, and battery storage. So I think it's really an exciting time to be looking at this stuff. Behind your question was, do we have the apparatus? What is the apparatus to get all 15 counties together in the way that would be necessary to get this done? If we don't, and we don't have that right now, I'll be honest with you, we don't have that. But if you let the generation companies decide, We Energies, we're going to get a Wisconsin solution for generation. If you let American Transmission decide that it's a transmission model that's what we need, you'll get a $2 billion transmission solution. Our current utilities up here, UPCO, REA, others, Cloverland's doing a good job in the Eastern UP because they have all that hydropower. So they pay 15 cents. And they're farther from Green Bay, which is crazy. But if we allow the solution to be decided by the existing entities, we will get much higher rates. But in the meantime, I think what the coalition is going to focus on over the next 2 years is what mechanism has to be in place so that we can adjudicate our own future. And I think, as I just spitball that, if the governor would appoint a UP Energy Task Force that had representatives from all the counties, all the big cities, the big villages, you know, the townships that need to be represented, that would really go a long way so that we're representing our own interests and our own people are deciding. Maybe one community says we don't want any wind turbines in this area, but we can take 5 megawatts more of solar. Somebody says we could do 2 biomass plants here because we got so much logging here in Alger County. And maybe Keweenaw would say we don't want a biomass plant there. It's modular. It's at a point where it's practical to do, but it's also conceptual so that you could move that around. But that mechanism, which is a political mechanism of sorts and a municipal mechanism of sorts, that currently doesn't exist. But I don't think it's that hard to conceptualize that body, that committee, that task force that could accomplish this.
I can't help but picturing you know, somebody with a business or an apartment complex, you know, because they have the tax credits now to help you install solar panels. And it's always, yes, I would love to have solar panels here, but it's always that initial cost that it's always the hurdle. Down the road, you save a ton of money. There's no question about it. The numbers play it out, but always coming up with that initial money. And American Transmission, you know, they can spend $600 million on new transmission line and then spread the cost to us over, you know, whatever it was, 20 years. But then we've got to find at the smallest amount, $500 million to get this up and rolling. Now, is it possible that it's not a the entire UP or nothing scenario? Could pockets of the UP, like say, could Houghton County or Keweenaw County decide, you know, we can try to make our area self-sufficient energy-wise, but, you know, maybe the Banana Belt in the eastern part of the UP will catch up later?
And I think that's probably, I mean, if you ask the question, can we organize and do a UP 15 countywide plan? Can we implement that, roll it all out at the same time once we have agreement on where the generation assets would go? Truthfully, honestly, I don't think that's going to happen. But what you described, which is a rollout plan that's based on enthusiasm, initiative, motivation by a particular county, I think that's probably how it would happen. And that's kind of happening behind the scenes here. Having Michigan Tech and the KRC allows us to put the scientists to work to evaluate the assets, do proof of concept demonstrations like geothermal up at KRC at the airport. Joshua Pierce, Rochelle Winkler, Chelsea Shelley, the other professors are in a kind of a synergistic cohort at Tech looking at solar and how we do that. And Rob Minerick's got an 8K array up there on Shopko Heights. We've got enough examples that these things will work, but I think it will probably happen in that piecemeal way. I think Northern Houghton County and Keweenaw County are great places to start this for the reasons we kind of just described. You've got a world-class university here. You've got a world-class research, applied research facility here. And then we've got all the assets. All the forestry assets in Keweenaw County and Northern Houghton County. We've got a biomass plant that works. It doesn't always burn the right stuff, but that's in Lawrence. We know we can produce power that way. We know it works. We know we can dump to the grid. That's proven. We've got 8 years of data on that. Wind, as we described, Keweenaw, I've had a wind turbine on my property in Cedar Bay for 8 years. I can tell you I'm very happy with what my upco bill looks like. Those things will work. So the Keweenaw is uniquely suited to be the driver of this thing. And then by the time, you know, other people say, well, that's really working for them up there, then you might be able to extend this thing out. So I think that would be a more logical way for it to happen. But why not here? Why not here? Because we have the human capital and we have the necessary assets on the resource side.
The number of, you know, I just keep picturing entrepreneurial, you know, opportunities here. You know, this wouldn't be, a simply government operation. There'd be ways that people can, you know, capitalize on this and do pretty well for themselves.
I think it's a lot of jobs. We've kind of calculated the number of jobs 7 annually operating biomass plants would provide in forestry in the field, because now you'd be chipping and hauling fuel that's currently left on the ground. That's a lot of jobs. There's a lot of jobs in the construction of these facilities. There's a lot of jobs for the ongoing operations of these facilities. In these new tech jobs, STEM jobs, particularly for women, it's wonderful. So wind technology and solar technology, there are active programs here at the university. And so there would be jobs for people who would typically graduate from Tech and have to go somewhere else where wind is happening. Iowa, Texas, somewhere where solar is really happening, California, Arizona. We would create those jobs. They're high-tech jobs. They're good-paying jobs. And so the opportunity is incredible. And we want to concentrate on those things. It's kind of a punchline. We have a problem. We have the highest rates currently. If we do some of these solutions, they're going higher. If we attack the affordability part of this thing and we do it ourselves, energy independence, it brings jobs to the area. It brings a lot of money, like we talked, $50 million a year in fuel. I just don't see a downside to that.
Sam, if somebody wants to be able to learn more about this and follow the progress and maybe support you in some way, what's the best way for them to do that?
First thing would be to stop on our website, which is www.krecnews.org. You can see a lot of the press releases we put out. You can see the plan there. We try and monitor the happenings that really can most affect us. The transmission build-out being one, we try and keep that updated. People can get a hold of us, contact information on that website. And I can tell you everybody in the coalition would be happy to talk to you and make the time to do so, because I'm pretty passionate about a UP solution for this problem.
Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.